Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our second service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. Many of you know Melison Turner. Melison and her daughter, Brooklyn, this is their last Sunday with us. And Melison, are you in this service? There she is, right there. Melison and Brooklyn, this is their last Sunday with us. She's moving to Cutter and will be teaching science there for the next 3, 4, 5 years or so. But they've been fantastic here. We wish for you all of God's best in your move overseas. You've been watching the Olympics? Yeah, it's really been fascinating. Martha and I, we went to an Olympics party a week ago this past Friday night, kind of an opening ceremony party. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm not an avid watcher. It's not like I, you know, record every particular event, but I do pay attention to the Olympics, and it's been so much fun so far. I mean, Michael Phelps and what he's accomplished, adding to his legendary status as the most decorated Olympian in history, 22 medals, 2 bronze, 2 silver, 18 gold medals. Is that not just incredible? It's incredible. And then, of course, this past week, the girls' gymnastics team, they win the team gold medal. And then she's called America's newest sweetheart, Gabby Douglas, wins the individual all-around gold. And it's just been so much fun to watch all this. And I think that our Bible passage for the morning is so apropos, because it is a Bible passage that actually uses the concept of the Olympics to make a point. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to a church in Corinth, Greece. Well, 44 miles up the road as a crow flies, you have Athens, the home of the Olympics. But not only that, just outside of Corinth, you would have had every 2 years the Isthmian Games, games where people would come from all over the known world to compete in all types of events, but particularly events that emphasized running and fighting. We'll get into the Bible passage in just a moment, but first, I've got a question for you. Let me put it up here on the screen. What is God's mission for me? What is God's unique mission for you during this season of your life? Now, granted, we are all, as believers, we're all the salt of the earth. As believers, we are all the light of the world. But get this now, you are the salt of the earth in a particular way. You are the light of the world in a particular way. And at this season of your life, what's your unique mission, your event, if you will, your events, if you will, that you bring to the table? Well, I'm just a generic follower of Jesus. No, no, no. You're called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in some specific, particular way where you make a difference. And only you can make that determination. That means you're going to have to ask yourself some tough questions. And the answer will depend probably on your vocation, your skills, your abilities, the stage of life for your family, your past experiences, positive and negative, sins that you've dealt with in the past. But you are not just the salt of the earth and the light of the world in a general way, but God has a specific mission and calling for you and for me. So what's yours right now? Now, with that question in mind, let me start reading the Bible. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "Though I'm free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." He's saying, as for me, I'm a missionary, and I'm a cross-cultural missionary, and that's what I do. That's what I bring to the table. And get this now. By implication, Paul is telling you There are 94 reasons why I should quit. My calling is to be a missionary, and there are 94 reasons I could give you why I should just hang up my running shoes and my boxing gloves. I could come up with reason after reason why I should just retire and coast. But he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." See that last phrase? That is a key phrase in this whole passage. I want you to say that last phrase with me. Run in such a way as to get the prize. One more time. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, that's not a Ricky Bobby type statement, you know, if you're not first, you're last, that kind of thing. What he is saying, though, is that you give it the energy, you give it the effort, you give it the passion. Give what the passion? My generic, wispy following of... No, whatever your mission is, whatever your calling is in serving Jesus at this stage of your life, go after it. There are 94 reasons why you should coast. Don't coast. Keep running like you're going after first place. Well, I just kind of want the participation ribbon. No. You want the gold medal. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Answer, it looks like running hard. And there's another metaphor he gives. It also looks like fighting, like boxing, like punching, black eyes. He says, verse 26, "Therefore, I don't run like someone running aimlessly, and I don't fight like a boxer just beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Notice who his opponent is in boxing. It's himself. He says, I beat my own body that wants to lie and covet and coast and be lazy and gossip and get mad. That's what I beat. I thought this past week of a silly little movie I saw years ago, and a particular episode, a little 5-second clip in this movie, and the reason why I thought of this particular clip is that I have done this to myself many times. All right, I'm going to show you the clip. Here it is. All right, one more time. Here we go.
Snap out of it.
I have done that to myself many, many times. I've not slapped you. I've not slapped anybody in my family, but I've slapped me. I have boxed me. Time after time, what Paul says here, there are 94 reasons why I should coast, but you know what I do? I keep running like I'm going for the gold medal, and I fight myself. I slap myself and say, snap out of it. You know why I have to do that? Same reason you do. I got the wind knocked out of me. I got defeated. I got deflated. I got misrepresented. I got underappreciated. I got unappreciated. Things went south. Things went wrong. Things went north. Things went west. Things didn't go the way I thought they should go. Things didn't go the way I expected them to go. And there are 94 reasons why I should just take my running shoes and put them over here and just say, I think I just want a participation ribbon. I keep running my race, says Paul. And I want you to keep running your race like you're going for the gold medal. You are playing to win. You are running to win. You are running to make a difference. So here's the key thought. To fulfill your mission, you must run and fight to win. And here's what it looks like. I want to give you four words, four concepts, right out of this passage of Scripture. He says, run like this. Number one, with focus. With focus. I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. How many of you know that where focus goes, energy flows? But in our culture, it is easy to live random, aimless, distracted lives. I mean, think about it. You did notice this past week where the USA Today named Houston as the coolest city in America. Do not look shocked at that. We were named the coolest city in America, not temperature-wise, but said, you're looking for a city where there's a lot to do, a lot of great things to do? You want to go to Houston. Everybody that lives in the greater Houston area will tell you, we are not necessarily a great place to visit, but we're a fantastic place to live. I mean, we're not on, when people think of top tourist destinations in America, it's not like Disney World, Houston, Maui, you know, it's not there. But we're a fabulous place to live. But you know what? In this wonderful place, you've got all kinds of distractions. You got wonderful restaurants, and you got sports, and you got theater, and you got concerts, and then don't forget, you got your smartphone, and you got Facebook, and Wastebook, and Twitter, and friends, and family, and all kinds of things. And it's just so easy to get distracted. And somebody says, how do I know what to say no to? That's the wrong question. What have you decided to say yes to? What have you decided to say yes to in your life that in a tangible way, you're the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world? And once you've decided what you're going to say yes to, anything that distracts, you jettison it. Run with focus. Secondly, run with some hard work. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. In other words, you're not going to just drift into being an Olympian. And listen to this, gang. You are not going to be a Christian who really makes a difference without hard work. And somebody says, well, now, wait a minute now. I thought Christianity was all about being saved by grace. Answer, it is. The Apostle Paul is a champion for salvation by grace. You can't work your way to heaven. Christ has done it, not of works, lest any person should boast. But listen to this. He's also a champion that says, if your life is going to be useful, if your life is going to make an impact, it's going to require some effort. You do the training, God will do the changing. And if you want your tongue to be a life-giving tongue rather than the kind of tongue that demeans and cuts and bites, you'll have to fight for that. And if you want a contented spirit as opposed to a greedy spirit, you'll have to work hard for that. And if you want a bigger heart that serves people and actually cares about people, you'll have to work to develop that. This concept of hard work and partnering with the Spirit is all over the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says it like this. He's been talking about avoiding greed and avoiding an argumentative mindset. And so then he says, I want you to flee from all of this. And here's what I want you to pursue. You're not going to drift into this. You're going to have to tackle it. You're going to have to fight for joy, fight to avoid bitterness, fight to avoid hate. You're going to have to fight to love, fight to care. He says, I want you to pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. He says, Ronnie, are your knuckles raw? Because you're going to come up with 94 reasons why you should retire from serving Jesus and just coast and, you know, play with a smartphone and go to the hills or go to the beach or go to the pool or go to one more restaurant. And you'll be able to come up with 94 reasons to get off mission. But go for the goal with focus, with hard work. Thirdly, he says, with endurance. With endurance. And I want to read a passage out of Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the finisher of our faith. To some of you in this room today, I need to say, get going. To a lot of you in this room today, I just need to say, attaboy and attagirl, and keep going. I'm about to say something, and I hope this comes out the way I mean for it to come out. I do not mean this as a cut towards any person or anything, but the longer I live, the less impressed I am with short-term passion and enthusiasm, and the more impressed I am with faithfulness and endurance. And if that doesn't make much sense right now, maybe when you're as old as I am, it may make some sense. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying passion and enthusiasm. It's strong. That's good. But run your race not for a year, two, five, ten. When you get knocked down and misrepresented and the wind knocked out of your sails and things went south and things went north and things went sideways and things got turned upside down and it's not what you planned and you've got 94 reasons to just hang it up. Would you keep running that race? Did you hear this past week about Gabby Douglas and what she said, how that about a year ago, she wanted to quit, and she called her mom. She said, Mom, I'm tired of this. I just want to come home. I no longer want to be a competitive gymnast. And her mom wouldn't let her. And Gabby said, Mom, you're supposed to be on my side. You're supposed to say to me, honey, you're my little girl. You come on home. But instead, her mom said something to this effect. Sweetheart, life's not always easy. And sometimes you have to fight and refuse to quit. What's your mission for Jesus during this season of your life? Now, you're not going to be able to answer that question with your ego. You'll have to answer it in humility. But once you feel like you have something to hold on to, run that race. Run it with focus, with hard work, play to win, and run it with endurance. But now, if this were all I had to say today, honestly, it's not a very appealing, encouraging message. The last thing is run it with hope. With hope. Everyone who competes, he says, verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. But notice, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The Lord reminds you that as you live out your mission, your specific part of the grand, sweeping, panoramic story that Jesus is writing in the world, and as you live out your part of that, He pays attention. He pays attention, and it's duly noted. Every prayer, every act of kindness, every act of service, whether it's grand or small, public or private, He notices. And that day, if you were a competitor in the Isthmian Games, you would have received a crown of leaves, and they would have deteriorated quickly. Oh, but now we get a gold medal. And it'll last a while. But God pays attention to every act of service you offer. Everyone. It's duly noted. He appreciates it. He will honor that. And you can run your race knowing that your God who loves you pays attention and will reward your faithful service to Him. Gang, I acknowledge that it is a huge challenge to stay focused, but I hope you will. And I hope you'll run your race and play to win. Now, you have in your order of worship a communication card, and there's a spot there for you to fill it out and write out a prayer request. During the week, our church leaders, we take these submitted prayer requests and we pray over those. And so if you would like to submit one today, feel free to do so. Just fill out that card, write out your prayer request. And once you've gotten that done, just pass those cards to the ends of the aisles and they will be collected here in just a little bit. Let me invite our elder couples, please, to be coming down front. Take your places right down here because we're now about to enter into a time of prayer. And this is a time where you're invited, certainly, to pray right where you are, but you're also invited to come down front and to pray with one of our elder couples who will be down here. It would be our privilege to pray with you, our honor to do so. Now, as we start this time, you're going to see some images up here on the screen. There are going to be some images of trophies, medals, ribbons. I want you to ask yourself, as you look at some of these images, am I running the right race? Have I been pursuing ribbons and medals that should not be pursued supremely and ultimately? And if that's you, listen, don't beat yourself up. Apologize. God will forgive you. His grace will flow to you. But then today, make a recommitment to lace up your running shoes and put back on those running shorts and run your race with energy and faithfulness and durability as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand together, please. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray together and let's worship Him in the beauty of holiness.